This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Oh, Father God, thank you that we can just acknowledge tonight how much we need you, Father. How much we are dependent on your grace and the cross, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we just want to say you are welcome here. And Father, let your will be done and your kingdom come tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I just want to give a bit of background before we start. So the Beatitudes is part of the Sermon of the Mount. So this is where Jesus actually preached or teached. So it is, we can listen. That is like, if I think, yo, imagine listening to a sermon of Jesus Christ, like literally him standing there. So this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, that is from Matthew 5 to 7, but the Beatitudes we find in Matthew 5. So that is what we will focus on for a few weeks. So tonight I want to give an overview of the Beatitudes and the lens that we read it through. I want to, questions we can ask that might help us as we read through the Beatitudes. And I want to encourage you to go home and also read it for yourself and think what it means to you. We can go to the first slide. So I want to read it for us, just all of them to start with. So seeing the crowds, he went up the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." So, Voorzit, in the Sermon of the Mount, I just want to also mention the kingdom of God. I just prayed as well, your kingdom come. And I think two phrases that we use oftenly is bless you. Even if you sneeze, you know, you're like, bless you. And if someone doesn't say bless you, you think like, you know, bless myself. Why didn't no one say bless me? So we use this a lot. And also a lot of times when we say your will be done, your kingdom come. And to just stand still a little bit and think about those words. So we're going to look about the kingdom of heaven theme. And that's a major theme in the book of Matthew. So like Philip mentioned, this Beatitudes is very good for us as believers to just do soul searching again, you know. How does it look like if I think my life is blessed, but what does God say a life that's blessed look like? So to change the lens that we look through there. It's not just telling us how to become, it's not telling us how to become a Christian, but how a Christian look like. And there's three themes that we also find in the book of Romans, but I can drew it almost through to Matthew tonight, and it's justification, sanctification, and glorification. And the Beatitudes for me falls in sanctification. So once we're saved, we're justified. Nothing we did can, out of our own strength, could give us that grace, but we are justified before God because of what Jesus has already done. But then we are still living. You know, when you got saved, that is the beginning of a life. You are newborn. And then there's a sanctification process that happens. And that's often the long part, and then one day is the glorification with God. So I want us to think like in this, may God come and sanctify our hearts within this. Okay, so if we think about the word blessing, it's an adjective, and the Oxford Dictionary says it's made holy, consecrated, so the blessed sacrament. So it's something that's made holy or consecrated, and then also endowed with divine favor and protection. So basically, the opposite of a blessed life is a cursed life. And I think we all hope for a blessed life, not a cursed one. So it's good to think about the Beatitudes. And so, yeah, we can go to the next one. So basically, what I want us to look at is, we got this from a guy called Colin. It's also from Unlocking the Bible, but it's not David Pawson. It's someone else. But he mentioned these three things that you can use the Beatitudes as a tool. And the first thing is a tool to discern our spiritual condition, so where we are currently at. And the second thing, it's also for progress and momentum. And I'm going to speak a little bit about that. And then a window to worship the Blessed One. So we're going to start with the discerning part. And what we basically ask is, what are the distinguishing marks of a Christian? So usually there's two things how we recognize a Christian. If you say, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And someone says yes, then you often think, okay, awesome, this is a Christian, if you don't know the person. But then you also want to see fruit in their life. So in our heads, we usually place people like, okay, I can see he's a Christian and he says he believes. But if someone only, we can't just, but faith is a necessary one, but it's not everything, because faith without works is dead. So the first thing we can do with soul searching here is, okay, he confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, but then the faith must also show. But then again, it can't just be the works. If we think about Matthew 7 verse 21, there's a lot of people that came to God and said, you know, but I cast out demons in your name, and I did this in your name, and I did all of these good things in your name. And he says, depart from me, for I did not know you. So the question we want to ask is, what is it? What is it that God says when I am blessed? And we can, the beautiful thing of this, the first beatitude that we're going to look at tonight, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the thing that we can look at here is also, and ask ourselves, okay, so what is God looking for? So we're going to run through a few things in terms of that. Sorry, you can go one back, Emil. I just want to stand still here. So, for example, we can get, let me speak for myself, but sometimes, you know, we feel like we're in good standing with God when we feel like, you know, I'm doing a lot of things for God now. I think I'm fruitful and things are going well, but then again, to ask ourselves, what is God looking at? Is my heart pure in doing this? Am I meek? Am I humble? That is the questions that's coming up through this. Okay, so the next thing we can use it as is a tool for progress and momentum. So I want to take it now from the last one to the first one. To get to the first one, we're getting to the first one, okay? So, to ask ourselves, so blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Is that describing us tonight? Are we thirsty? And are we hunger for righteousness? Does peace follow me because it lives within me? If I leave my workspace or my Zoom meeting in this time, is there a peace that I leave behind? is peace following me because it lives within me. Blessed are the pure in heart. What is the condition of my heart? That is soul-searching questions we can ask ourselves tonight if we think whether we are blessed or not in this time. Blessed are the merciful. Do I forgive easily? That's a question you can ask yourself, that because much we have been forgiven. So can we forgive easily? That's a good test to think, where's my heart in terms of mercy, meekness? Am I obedient to God even when it costs me something? Am I mourning? And that question that says, beatitude that says, blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted. I ask myself, to mourn about what? What does that mean in that context? But what I also focus on there is mourning about sin in our lives, because we realize the effect that it has in terms of separating us from Jesus. So mourning, so about what? And if I go through all of these things, I think, God, help me. I don't know about you, but that comes to mind for me. Because I can't always say it's easy for me to forgive now, or, you know, I'm just pure in heart, standing here. I can promise you I wasn't like a saint this whole weekend. I'm human. So if I had to wait until I am completely, you know, sanctified before I come and share a message with you guys, you will wait like much longer than this lockdown, I can promise you that. So if I read all of this, I think, God, help me. And that is where we come to the first one, and it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of God. So that's a long way to come to the first one. But to remember our dependence on grace and on God. So to find ourselves in that space again. Okay. So there's three phases that they use for this beatitudes, and it helped me a lot. So the first three deals with our needs, and that is the root. That's roots of a godly life. So this is now the poor in spirit, mourning about our sin, and meekness. So this is focusing on, we know we don't have the ability. So that's the poor in spirit part. Repentance is the mourning part, and meekness, a willingness thing. So, and it's almost like it can, you know, follow on each other. So once we realize, once we've become aware, I don't know if you can think back on a time where you felt so in need of God. A lot of times that is when we came to Christ. So you were so aware of your sin. You were so aware of how much you need God. And then you mourned about time that was lost because of sin. That's the mourning part. And after that follows a meekness, a obedience, a willingness. But sometimes in our Christian life, you know, we become mellow in these things. And I trust that tonight we will just come to that place again of standing in awe of who God is and seeing ourselves in front of Him, and then realizing just how much we are dependent on Him. So the next one is then life. So it's roots and then life. And from life, as we live, you know, we thirst and hunger for righteousness. And then there's also a fruit that can come after that. Fruit that people can see is mercy, a purity of heart, and peace. But now this is the thing. Sometimes we condemn ourselves so much because we feel like, you know, I'm just, my heart is so, you know, I don't feel like doing anything now. I'm just not motivated. No, I don't want to forgive, and I am not at that place now. And I almost want to say it's okay, because it's very hard for a tree to bear fruit if there's no watering or if you don't spend any time on the roots. So almost to breathe and just come back to that place of being poor in spirit, dependent on Him. So we're going to look now a bit of what does poor in spirit also mean? And this is also a picture I just want to leave with you guys before we get there. So it's, if you have to swing from this side to that side, I am terrible with this. Ek het die armspiere van 'n dag oud nie, but metaphorically, okay, spiritually, I am going to go for it. But so the first swing is, you know, being poor in spirit, okay? Acknowledging our dependence on God, realizing our poverty in terms of spirituality and how much we need God. Okay, so that's the first swing, okay? And then we grab the next one, you know, mourning about that sin, becoming aware of it, meekness, and we go on to purity and merciful and thirst for righteousness. But you get a momentum. So if you swing like that and you are on a roll, jy weet, jy is nou op pad aan die kant toe. It's amazing. So it helps you with getting momentum. But sometimes we miss one. Sometimes our hands slip. Sometimes we lose momentum. And then we feel stuck. Then we feel stuck somewhere. And that's the question that we also have to ask ourselves. So we might have been at a place of, you know, going for it, going to the next one and the next one, and there was progress happening. But somewhere along the way, we missed one, and now we feel stuck. And what I want to encourage us tonight is to let go of that ring. And God's inviting us to start again. To start again, becoming poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, and there is a blessing right there. Not trying to grab that thing and trying to get momentum and you not going anywhere. You feel like you're just stuck. To be able to let go and say, God, I'm starting again. And then if I go again and I, you know, stop somewhere, I am willing to start again because I am going to run this race with endurance. And that is a continuous thing where blessing lies, where God's inviting us in to walk with Him. Okay, so the next one, blessed are the poor in spirit. So like I mentioned, just want us to think about those words a bit. What is poor in spirit? It's a humility. You might feel bankrupt, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. So this is not necessarily financially, but just feeling empty, feeling like I don't have anything now that I can really give out of my own strength, and in need of a savior. So basically it's the opposite of pride. Pride struggles to exist in the presence of God. And if I think about times where I feel tired or where I started to strive, it's because I thought I can give something, you know, to God. I am in a space now where I can give. And this is not to, like, it's amazing to be able there. But then I always come back to the place of knowing that, yo, but nothing that I give out of my own hand will ever be sustainable. I need to come back to that first ring again and grab it. Because somewhere along the line, I thought it was up to me. And this is so beautiful. Someone once said also, people that is far from God often speaks about what they are doing for God. But someone that's very close to God, what you can see in them is they speak about what God is doing for them. And this is just a soul-searching question again. Like Philip and I said, it's challenging. It's not like we can say, boom, click, you know, not at all. So aware of our flaws, but so grateful for that because God says we are blessed if we are in that space. So this is also something that the world may see, you know, I said there X, Y, Z. The world may see an engineer. The world may see a pastor. The world may see an elder. But when we stand in front of God, it's a complete different perspective. It's a complete different perspective. If you compare yourself with other people, it's easier to feel like, yes, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. But once we get into the presence of God, we cannot help to become poor in spirit and bow to our knees. And God says, right there, there's a blessing for you. There's a blessing for you. And He knows that's the best and safest place for us to be. So some qualities that we can see in people that is poor in spirit. I just wanted, and this is, we're getting to the application part now. So how can we apply this? How can we get there? So people who are poor in spirit gives up the idea that God owes them. We have a duty to God, not God to us. And sometimes this is like, yes, obviously, but I realize sometimes I am planning a lot of my own plans and then I'm very disappointed when my expectations are not met. But to come to that place again, not my will, but your will. And then people who are poor in spirit are not afraid to ask. So I want us to think, what was the last thing you asked from God? And if we think about people that is desperate, that is in need, I think we can all think about of a few in this time just driving through the streets. They are not afraid to ask because they know how much they need food. And I want to encourage us to get that desperate. Like that guy standing hungry for food to come to God like that and recognize that we need to ask Him stuff. That is the first part. Because if we don't feel like we need anything right now of God in terms of grace, strength, and we think we have it all together, it's harder to come and to get into that place of asking. But it doesn't just stop there. So another quality is also receiving then. So people who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive. And this is such a nice phrase. I can't remember who said it, but it's, how can you receive gold if your hands are full of pebbles? And I just see this picture of us coming to God with like all of these little things and rocks, and you just want to, you know, present it the whole time. And He says, position yourself to receive that, what I want to give you. Let go of those things. And those pebbles are sometimes our security, our control, our comfort zone. And He says, let go of that. There's gold. There's gold waiting for you, but there's no space for me to give it to you. So what's that things in our lives that we need to let go of and trust God for that gold and receive it? That's the other thing that's very hard for us in terms of just not feeling worthy enough, not feeling we've done enough. We cannot receive it, God. No, it's too much. It's gold. And that is such a lie yet again. It's what that mindset of what we can do for God. But He says, it is what I have already done. Just position yourself to receive that. And then people who are poor in spirit boast in the cross. Yeah, this is that what I mentioned now. People far from God speaks about what they are doing for God. But people close to God speaks about what He is doing for them. So boast in the cross. And then I just want us to think about the blessing then, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the first thing I want us to see there is, is. It's not will be, shall be, it's is. It's present tense. And if you look at the other blessings in the Beatitudes, it is, for they shall be comforted. All the rest is in the future, future tense, except the kingdom of heaven. For there is the kingdom of heaven. So how does that look for us? That is a massive blessing to have in the present tense. So God's authority at work in an individual's heart. That is when we think about what does the word kingdom of heaven means. So how can I have a taste of heaven on earth? I just want us to focus quickly on that. God's authority at work in an individual's heart. So if we want to step into the blessing of receiving the kingdom of heaven, we must also acknowledge who is king in that kingdom. So yet again, let go of our pebbles and receiving the gold, humbling ourselves before the king, the kingdom of heaven. So that needs to happen before we enter into the kingdom of heaven. But how does it look for us on earth? How can we have a taste of this on earth? And Isaiah 57 verse 15, if you can just remember this scripture for tonight. this is the amazing present tense kingdom of heaven that is with us today. And for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Heaven is with the humble before the humble is in heaven. And this is encouraging for me. I am so grateful for that. That heaven can be here with us before we are in heaven. And that Jesus can be here with us. And I often ask myself, how would my life look today, or let's say tomorrow, if Jesus Christ as a person, like, walked right beside me? Like, literally, Jesus is walking here. Will I walk a bit more uprightly? You know, daai kromskouertjies bietjie terugtrek? Like, would I talk to someone I wouldn't have? Would I finally, like, go for that thing that's been burning in my heart for so long? Because it doesn't always look like that, if I'm honest with myself. I don't always walk as if Jesus is right beside me. And the scripture says he is with us. And the Holy Spirit is in us. We are a temple of God living in us. And this is a massive blessing. But if you feel far from that tonight, I want to encourage you to, in this week, just go and spend time with God. Just come in his presence. Because once we're in his presence and acknowledging his presence, a lot of other stuff starts to get smaller. Go to the next. So when Jesus describes a person that is blessed, I want to ask us tonight, is he describing you? When Jesus describes a person that is blessed, is he describing you tonight? And how can we reposition ourselves tonight to receive his blessing? Phil, you can come and play. There's a few thoughts that was on my heart as I was just trusting tonight for God to really touch our hearts. Not because of anything we can do for him, but because of who he is. And for us to just become aware of him again here with us and being able to just humble ourselves before him. And to let that be a window of worship to the Blessed One, because that is where worship is born. True worship. You can't help to acknowledge that. So I was just thinking about it. And if you can identify one of these things, I just want you where you sit to pray tonight as Phil is leading us. So some must maybe lay down your pebbles tonight to have space to receive the gold he wants to give you. Maybe that's you tonight. Or some of you might need to ask something tonight, and you might not be sure what it is that you actually want to ask. But then ask God to come and show you what do you really want. Or maybe you have asked but struggled to receive, or what he wants to give you doesn't look the way that you planned it. That's another thing. So you want to ask, but you don't know how to receive it because you don't know if that's the thing you are busy planning. Then we have to surrender our plans. Or you feel unworthy, then talk to God about that. Some of us just need to focus on his presence with us tonight. Surrender where you feel stuck and be willing to start with being poor in spirit again. Some of us might be there. You are hanging on that ring in the middle. You're not getting anywhere. You're not getting to the end, but you still don't want to go back to the beginning. It's just too hard. And God's saying, let go. It wasn't time wasted. I'm building character. It's not the destination. It's the journey and the character within the journey, like Bernie said last week. Let go. I'm planning gold. Let go of that pebbles. Or some of you might need to mourn about sin in your life. And I just want to say this, is there might be stuff in this time where you are condemning yourself about. The enemy might have said, this thing won't harm anyone. This thing won't harm a lot of people, you know. And that might be the exact thing he's using now by telling you that there's no hope because of that. But Jesus tonight says there is hope. If you feel like you're not living up to this, you are in a good space tonight because you acknowledge it. If you feel like I'm just not getting it, and you don't know what I've done in lockdown, I want to tell you the thing that the enemy wants to use by showing you that there is no hope is the thing that Jesus asks you to surrender, so that he can come and give you that hope. So may you turn to Jesus tonight and confess that sin and mourn about that sin so that you can get momentum, because it's an adventure that awaits. Don't let that keep you from going on that journey. So yeah, I'm just going to end in prayer for us, and then we can sing together. And I just want to encourage you to sit in his presence and talk to him. Father, I want to thank you for every heart tonight in this place. Yeah, thank you that you are with us, Father. We just come and give this time and say, Holy Spirit, come and comfort. Come and bring truth where lies are confusing our minds. We just pray for truth tonight, Lord. We pray for freedom. We pray for hope in this place, Jesus. We pray for peace. Thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, Father. And Jesus. And we just say, thank you that we are able to approach you tonight because of what you've done on the cross for us, Jesus. We just come and say, we cannot do this on our own, Father. We are trying, but we are failing. And we just come and acknowledge that we need you, Jesus. We need you. And thank you for hope and strength and grace. We receive that tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.